Welcome to the Hyper Fat Show, where we believe unlimited growth in business and life is created by surrounding yourself with people who have been where you are going. Learning from others allows you to compress time and grow hyper fast. And now, here are your hosts, Kerry Scholl and Dan Lesniak. Kerry and Dan are real estate developers, best-selling authors, billion-dollar agents, and million-dollar agent makers. And now, get ready to grow hyper fast.
Welcome to the show today, folks. We've got a real special guest. This guy has sold over 7,000 homes. He is the best-selling, New York Times best-selling author of Six Steps to Seven Figures. He co-founded GoBundance, which is a group of highly successful men, over 150 people in the group that are focused on horizontal income and living epic lives. He's also the host of Real Estate Rockstars, and while in that role, he has interviewed over 750 of the best-selling agents and coaches all over the world on their on the best practices that they're using. And he's also the founder of Rebus University, where he has over a dozen courses, hundreds of students who are learning how to, you know, improve their real estate game. So welcome to the show, Pat Hyben.
Dan, man, this is great. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've been on your podcast a couple of times. Kerry's been on yours, so this is a reversal of the normal roles.
Well, hopefully I'll be as good as you guys. You guys are always my favorite guests, and I think when Kerry came on in my absence for the new show recently, it had one of the highest downloads of all the new shows that we've done. So I was like, damn, well, maybe I should just replace myself on every Wednesday with Kerry. So hopefully I can add some value like you guys have been to me.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you will do more than that. And I'm sure we could get Kerry on more often too, but man, it's great talking to you. You're like the godfather of, you know, modern real estate. One of the first guys to put up the numbers you did. And then you went out, you wrote a book that educated real estate agents on how you did it. And you created a venue, a podcast before people were really popular in doing them. And you just got had access to so many amazing minds and business practitioners while doing that. So I don't even know where to start, but why don't you start us off? Tell the listeners a little bit, you know, about yourself, about your background.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess I'm an agent, at the end of the day, right? I'm an agent. I'm a investor. I'm just a real estate guy. Sometimes when people on planes or wherever say, hey, what do you do? I'm always perplexed because I do so many different things. And the easiest way to do it is just to say I'm a real estate guy. You know what I mean? I love real estate. I invest in real estate. I've sold real estate for so long. I've talked to all the top real estate agents. I teach real estate. I write a book about real estate. So I'm just a real estate guy. And, you know, my business was in Maryland, you know, 1987. So that's 30 years ago is when I graduated from college and then I got my license. I got my license. I was 21 years old. And I probably sold for a good 20 of those 30 years myself. And then in 2010, I sold my team to my top agent, Mike Sloan, who still runs it today. And yeah, so anyways, that's my whole head, you know, pretty much up until the last 10 years or so where I started investing in other things and thinking about other businesses and stuff, but still it's probably 80% real estate. If you looked at my portfolio of my wealth, you know, I would probably say about at least 75% is in real estate investment. So.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and I'm sure we'll dive into a lot of other ones, but let's tackle that for now, because there's a lot of people out there who say, don't put your eggs in one basket, like don't have your income tied up with where your investments are as well. And, you know, I'm not to the level you are yet with that ratio of, you know, 80% in real estate. I'm slowly getting there because I didn't come straight from college into real estate. My background is a little different, so I kind of had the old school mentality of you put money in a 401k and the stock market. And then over time, I've just seen it hasn't done what my real estate investments have done. So it's been a challenge because some of it's tied up in, you know, some of our assets are tied up in like 401k and retirement stuff, which is harder to move around. But we've been slowly using like self-directed IRAs and getting that stuff into real estate, and the returns just don't beat stock market in my mind.
Well, let's say they haven't, right? At least in the last 10 years. You know, I read a thing the other day. It was like literally like 3 days ago. It was the 10-year anniversary of when the stock market was at its lowest point, you know, in, and I guess in a 20-year period, right? So that was where 10 years, it's 10 years from the bottom. Well, last week it was 10 years from the bottom. So certainly the last 10 years has been, you know, an upward trend. Now, question always is the next 10 years going to be upward or downward? You know, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of changes in the next 10 years. And are they going to affect the stock market? Are they going to affect the real estate market? I think both will be affected. It's going to be a definite interesting time to watch and be involved in, for sure. What's going to happen? Nobody knows, but you're going to get bulls and bears as far as points of view, you know, on what could potentially happen. So I don't know.
Yeah, it just seems to me, with when you factor in the leverage that you get with real estate, when you factor in like the options you have, like it just beats the stock market in my mind. Like it's, and you know, tax deductions, all that kind of stuff. When you look at it, like if, you know, if you own shares of Apple and Apple goes down, your choice is to buy more or sell. But if you're, you know, if your home values go down, you can lease it, you can renovate it, upgrade it, switch it to short term rentals, the Airbnb. You know, you just have a lot more options than when a blue chip stock goes down.
No, 100%. Yeah, you've got the benefits to the stock market are one, and that's potential appreciation, and that's it. And of course, you have that in real estate, but then in addition, you have leverage, you have depreciation, you have tax breaks with writing off the property taxes and the interest. You have principal pay down, and that if you rent it out, the tenants will pay it down. So you have five things rather than one. So certainly it makes more sense to buy investments that have five things versus one.
Yeah, you make a great point. Did you always invest in real estate? You know, you started selling back in 87, I think you said.
Yeah. No, I actually used to invest in a stock market in the 90s. So what I did is I bought my first house in 1990, and then I bought another one in 1991. And then I didn't buy any houses. And this is one mistake looking back on it. I wish I had. I didn't buy any houses again until 2000. I had a 9-year run with no houses. And the market was pretty flat. The real estate market was flat. Didn't go up, didn't go down, didn't do nothing. I could have just easily bought a house a year. And during that time, there really weren't a lot of real estate investors. Like, it wasn't a respected asset class, right? So you didn't have the investors really. You didn't have real estate. You had some real estate investors, but very, very few. Nothing like now. And now it's at an all-time high. There are more individuals that own real estate as an investment now than ever before in history. And so my point is, I wish I had dollar cost averaged a house a year all through the 90s, and I didn't. I put it in the stock market. And towards the end of that decade, it was kind of like if you go to Las Vegas and you see some table, a craps table, and there's like all these people yelling and screaming as if they're drunk, but they're sober. And they're just high on the fact that everybody's winning. And you go over there and every bet that you make triples. And you're like, of course, I'm going to just stay at this table and not go to any other tables because this is a winning table. That's how the stock market was. You could bet on some stock you never even heard of before, and you didn't even care what it did. And you could literally buy it in the morning at a dollar and sell it for $3 at the end of the day. And if you had a lot of balls, you could spend $20,000 and make $100,000 in a day. And it was like bragging rights, you know, that you could be like, I cannot believe it. I just made $40,000 a day. So I was doing that, and unfortunately I was doing it through leverage, right? Through margin, which basically back then they allowed you to margin 100%. So if you had $500,000, you could buy $1 million worth of stock. I don't know what it is now, but so the bottom line is what happened was when the market crashed, everything that when it went down, it doubled down because I owned twice as many shares because it was on margin. And I had $1.3 million. I talk about this in the book. I actually have a picture of my wife and I. I had $1.3 million in my stock account. It went all the way down to 350.
Wow.
Yeah. So it went down like $900,000 in 12 months, almost $1 million. And it just all like, all on paper, right? Where it was like, oh, it's a, you know, where the broker's like, don't sell, don't panic, it's temporary. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And then at some point I took that 300 grand or so that was left. And I'm like, you know what? I'm out, right? I'm done. And he was like, my broker was like, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to buy real estate. And I went out and I bought third house I ever bought, which was in 2000. And then at that house and that same, and that was in College Park, Maryland, near University of Maryland. And then within 2 years, I'd bought seven houses in the same neighborhood, like all surrounding the same street. I was just buying up everything. And, you know, of course that served me well. And, I haven't really invested in the stock market since. I mean, it's almost unfortunate because it has had a nice run. And I haven't been able to participate in that run. But at the same time, I've been in real estate, which has also had a nice run. And all my houses are worth a lot more than I actually paid. So I should be happy about that. And I am. I was able to make some come bets. If you were going to stay on the theme of stocks, I was able to make some risky bets through a couple of hard eights or whatever. And I had two deals this year that are turning out really nice. But of course I've had some other deals that went sour. So that's a tough game too. I've learned a lot over the past decade on private equity and private investing and angel investing and things like that. So, but it's been a fun ride. And overall, at the end of the day, I've certainly won more than lost. So let's knock on wood. Let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah, no, that's great advice, I think, and great story there. And that, you know, it'd be hard to imagine a scenario in housing, at least in my mind, where a $1.3 million portfolio goes down to 300.
Yeah, right.
I just can't see that happening.
Are you a real estate agent with friends or clients moving to or from the DC, Maryland, Virginia area? Send them to the number one team in the area. The Kerry Schell team will ensure they get world-class treatment and the best possible results buying or selling their home. The Kerry Schell team has the best training, systems, and marketing, and we proudly guarantee our results. To refer us business, call the Kerry Schell team at 703-589-9067 or go to referkerryschell.com.
Story. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out in real estate? Would you tell them to go find a deal, put their money into it, or how do they find their first deal if they're a real estate agent?
Well, you know, I had a guy that I was coaching this morning, not paid coaching because I don't do that, but just, you know, for free. I told him I'd give him some advice. And, you know, this is 24 years old. He was all over the damn place. You know, he was trying to learn a lot. I think that, and this goes into the answer to your question. I think that his problem, and I think it's a big problem with a lot of younger people or a lot of new entrepreneurs is they get so focused on learning versus doing, right? Meaning there's people I've talked to that listen and great, like, dude, I have a podcast. You have a podcast. This is a podcast. We do videos, right? You know, that's great stuff. And we want people to continue to listen to us and learn. But at some point you need to set a limit on how much you're going to learn, maybe an hour a day, right? Or 2 hours a day max. You know, some of these people are spending 3-4 hours a day learning, watching videos, trying to follow in the footsteps of people that are separating their focuses. Meaning this, like if you're a brand new agent and you're going to watch some videos and learn some stuff, you want to learn how to be the best agent, right? If you're, let's say you're only working buyers, you want to learn how to be a buyer agent an hour a day, right? How to close deals an hour a day, not Gary Vee and Grant Cardone and quite frankly, Dan and Pat, right? None of the, you know, just find the best buyer agent and learn that. Or if you want to just do listings, find the best listing agent or the best books or podcasts on listings and only focus on that and just grind and earn. And then the money that you earn, the taxable money that you earn, real cash that you can put in a bank, then you can invest that, right? But there's so many people out there that want to just kind of go from zero to hero and not earn, not put it in cash, not invest it second. They want to go straight to like, you know, I'm going to syndicate an apartment for $7 million and raise all this money myself. And they don't know what the hell they're doing. And they just lose focus and fail.
Yeah. You know? No, that's a great point. A lot of good stuff in there. I see a lot of people who have that exact mentality you just described. And like, you know, they'll look at a guy like Grant Cardone and see him putting together $100 million deal. And he raises 30-40% of it and, loans the rest, but he's closing in cash first, then going out and doing that. But what they don't see is he had two successful careers to get to that point. Like he was crushing it in auto sales, crushing it in teaching people how to sell, and then taking all of that money and then going out, finding the deals himself on the weekend. And, you know, he did that for 25 years before he started to go to everyone else and syndicate. And
right.
So people aren't always willing to put in that work and they.
So go earn some commissions, save the cash from the commissions, and then buy one house yourself. Like even if it's in a ghetto or something, you know, even if it's a small price property, just buy it to do it and rent it out and learn that way and then do it again. You know what I mean? Just like Grant Cardone did. You know, you got to do it yourself in order to be respected and in order to learn the fastest. and that's how most agents learn real estate sales, right? Is they just get out there and get their head kicked in and learn. You learn so fast. That's how you did it, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, I learned by messing up the first one or two appointments I had and then just sticking with it. And then all of a sudden I was like through that learning curve and I saw that hockey stick spike up, but you kind of have to push for some amount of time and it'll be different for everyone. You know, some people maybe a month, some people maybe 6 months, but it's probably for most people it's in that range. And the problem is they don't get past month one, right? So that if they don't see the results right away, they just give up or try something else or move on to the next coach or lesson instead of just going deep on one thing until they actually get some results.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, moving on. After you sold your team, so this is, we're walking back to 2010, you sold that to your partner and then you went out and you founded GoBundance later on or a few years after that, or walk us through that. That's interesting to me. And I'm a member.
You know, my life really, I can't say much of my life has been purposeful. Some of it has, but I'd say a lot of it hasn't been. I guess the small parts of my life have been purposeful, and they've always led to the big things. But the big things, like GoBundance, it was never it started out with David Osborne and Tim Rhoda and myself just taking trips to Norway and to Spain and to these random places, and then sharing our goals and keeping each other highly accountable on our goals and things like that. And then it led to a creation of a company. And quite frankly, you know, I never really said I'm going to create this men's mastermind company with 150 members. I'd like to lie to you and tell you it was, you know. But it just kind of happened, you know? And I think the same thing is true of my real estate career. You know, I never really got into the business saying, you know, one day I'm going to sell 500 houses a year. You know, I just sold 20 houses 1 year and my goal was to sell 30 the next. And then I sold 30. My goal was to sell 40. Then I'm going to sell 50. Then it was, you know, it was always a short goal, a short attainable goal. It wasn't like, you know, this big thing that I want to, I want to be here. Same thing with like saving money and building wealth. It was never, you know, I want to be a millionaire. I got $8,000. I want to have 20,000. You know what I mean? I want to have 30,000. So for me, that's how my life has been created. Then suddenly I look back and I'm like, oh damn, you know, I did reach that. So.
So there's 150 people in it now. What does it do? You know, who should consider it? That, you know, tell the listeners.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, we're in the process of writing a book right now. It's actually finished. The book, the story itself, it's a fable. It's about a guy who has a bad relationship with his father, and his father dies. He hadn't seen him in 20 years, and he goes to his funeral, and he thinks no one's going to be at the funeral, and there's all these guys at the funeral, and he has these six pallbearers, and the pallbearers all are like, you know, these guys that are really fit and healthy and that are really rich, and they show up in limousines, and they basically overwhelm him. And he's like, damn, I didn't know my dad was, you know, had this sort of game with the, what happened? Then he comes to review his dad's estate, and there's millions and millions of dollars in the estate. And he's like, you know, how did this happen? Last time I saw my dad, he was dead broke. And it was because his father had surrounded himself with these ballers and these people that had high levels of standards. And he had become just like them. And he basically wrote out that he wanted his son to learn these through his friends after his death. And that's what GoBundance is about. It's about building relationships with other guys who seek the same sort of goals, who seek a high level of net worth, who seek a high level of what we call horizontal income, which is income that pays you sideways so that you don't have to trade time for money, right? You know, like rental properties and businesses that pay dividends and things like that. Then also, you know, genuine contribution where you're giving back to others, where you're mentoring others, age-defying health, which is, you know, basically the concept of younger next year, meaning getting in better shape every year and being younger than the year you were, or decreasing your life, increasing your life expectancy every year, and authentic relationships, which is you know, having relationships that last long, marriages, right? No toxic relationships where you don't speak to your parents or things like that, you know. And then of course the last one of our pillars, we have six pillars, is extreme accountability. And we believe that it's very difficult to make change without accountability. An example would be as a group, right? We have about 50 members right now doing an accountability challenge to be kinder, right? And a lot of people don't think about this, right? But a lot of high achieving people, especially guys, lack kindness. It's a fact. And so what we're doing is every 3 days you have to create a random act of kindness, and there's accountability. We're using an app called Make Me that makes you do it. And if you don't, you have to pay $50 every 3 days, which certainly can add up. And that's just a small example of one of the many things that we do to try to get our members to become better human beings in more ways than one.
Well, I'm excited about the book. That sounds like a good read. Interested. Did the father try to, you know, repair the relationship with the son?
Well, you know, that's kind of what people are saying, you know, yeah. When I tell them about the book or when they read it. The answer is, yeah, it was the son that rejected the dad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, because he would be a false prophet, right? In a sense, if the dad, you know, had all this money and success, yet he was a jerk to his own son. Yeah, so we had to write it so that the dad did, and the dad really yearned for a relationship with the son, was the one that was like unforgiving.
Wow, sounds like a great story. And I know the group's amazing. I've been in for about a year and a half and built some amazing relationships, done a couple of cool trips. So looking forward to being a part of it in years to come. Tell us a little bit about Rebus University. I know Carrie and I, you know, helped make the certified buyer agent course on there, but you got over a dozen, you know, more. I know. And so tell us a little bit about that. Who's helping? What it offers?
Yeah. So what I found was, you know, a lot of real estate brokerages don't teach sales specifics. You know, they'll teach their agents fear-based training, like what to do so you don't lose your license, or what happens if you don't fill out this addendum and put it in the contract, right? Antitrust and fair housing and all that stuff, you know, mandatory, but at the same time, and some level agents need to know, you know, how to close a deal, right? How to get a list, how to beat Daniel Lesniak on a listing appointment, right? And so it was really lacking in the industry. And so I started to record people that were doing this on a high level. So for instance, I recorded you and Carrie, everything and anything about buyers on a high level, on how you handle your buyer agent department, how you handle your buyers, how your agents, your ISAs, all that works. And hundreds of people have taken your course and come out of it and said, man, you know, 5 stars. I closed 5 buyer deals in the last 60 days simply because of the techniques that Dan and Carrie taught me. And we did that on listing appointments. We did it on ISAs. We did it on, investing. We did a recruiting and retaining course, not me and you, but probably about right. 30 other agents from around the country, where I traveled out to them and recorded them, talk to them about their secret best practices.
Yeah, I thought the course we made was a great one, and I've looked at some of the others. I know you filmed the investing one, I think, when we were out at the GoBundance trip at the studio.
Yeah.
So you had
a year ago.
A lot of heavy hitters on that one, a lot of big time real estate investors. So, you know, for anyone, how can people, where do they go if they want to?
You know, the easiest way to do it is go to Future of Real Estate Training, and that's futureofrealestatetraining.com, futureofrealestatetraining.com, and that will allow you to do it for $7. You have a free 7-day trial for $7, and basically it's all you can eat buffet, man. You could go in there and eat as much as you can of all of those 12 courses, just have at it for $7. So just go to futureofrealestatetraining.com.
Yeah. So for $7, you can, instead of binging on Netflix for the weekend, you can binge on your courses, and
there you go.
And probably make, you know, 10, 20, maybe 100K more next year.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I think you've given a ton of value to our listeners out there, from, you know, what to invest in, how to get started, goal setting, the value of peer groups, you know, value of training, but actually going and learning by doing. But before we wrap up, I've got a few questions I want to fire at you in our hyper fast round. So
let's do it.
All right. What's the biggest mistake you ever made?
It's always hard. I think, you know, where I've struggled, I think, I don't know if I ever made like a massive mistake where I'm like, oh my God, like cheating on my wife or something like that, right? There's never like one of those moments where it was like clearly like an absolute disaster decision. I think I've made some mistakes, I think, in how I handled people that worked for me, you know, where I didn't, if we had to part ways and I had to let them go, I probably didn't handle it well. I still have some people that won't talk to me because, well, when the market, you know, I fired 22 people in 1 year when the market was crashing in 2007 or 8, you know what I mean? When the units just started dropping and, you know, I had to do what we had to do. I wasn't going to go under. So, you know, I still have some people that don't talk to me because of that. And I guess I handled it poorly. I don't remember it. You know, I don't remember the exact moment where I had to sit down with them and say, hey, you know, you're next to go.
Yeah. You were probably just so focused on staying alive, shooting the next.
I thought they would understand, you know right. what I mean? But I think no matter what, people take it personal, especially if they've been with you 10, 20 years, you know, they think that you owe them something, right? It should be first in, last out. When in reality, it doesn't work like that. When in reality, and it's the person that sticks around is the one that's going to offer the most value for what you're paying them. It has nothing to do with the first in, last out. I mean, that might work in a teacher's union.
Right.
But in a capitalist society with companies that are going at, you know, they're losing money, trying to bail water out of the boat. I think that, how I would have changed it, I think I would have just figured out a way to let them down nicer somehow. I don't know if I could have changed it, because at the end of the day, I did have to let them go. And that fact would have just, is always going to be there. But I made some mistakes that way. And I made some mistakes with some people that were on my team where I listened to other people give me advice about their job satisfaction. And I probably should have delved more into it myself. Mm-hmm. But at the time I was just, you know, I believed what other people told me was true. So I think if any of the, you know, for whatever reason that stuff comes back to mind, it's all relationships with employees. And for whatever reason, that's what pops in my head, as far as like mistakes where I could have been better, you know?
All right. Well, that's a good one. What's the biggest piece of advice you'd give to a new real estate agent? So someone just started out.
Cut right through, you know, all the BS. And just fire, ready, aim, you know, forget ready, aim, fire. I talked to this guy on my show, most amazing agent. You know, he had his license like 8 months. He sold like 17 houses, like 24 years old. The day he got his license, he didn't go to the office and organize his desk or take a photo for his business card or whatever. The day he got his license, he knocked on 100 doors. That's it. And I was like, man, that's it. You're not going to fail.
Yeah.
Hey, do that the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day, and the next thing you know. And a lot of his 17 were listings. He never once said, I want a buyer, right? Now, he sold some buyers, but like, I can't remember the exact number, but like 12 out of 17 were listings. And I'm like, man, you are doing it right. If I had to teach anybody how to do it, that's what I would do, because you're already a listing agent and you're not caught up in the addiction of buyers, right? And you're not caught up in the addiction of paying money for leads, right? Because all your leads are free. So you're starting out like 30% profit better than most agents, you know,
right?
Because you got the lead yourself.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, last one. If we weren't finding you, doing the podcast or working on Rebus or with GoBundance, what would you be finding you doing right now?
You'd be finding me walking my dog. I have this knucklehead puppy that requires like walks constantly, and so I walk her every single morning, a couple of miles, then I walk her every single afternoon, then I walk her again before we go to bed. And I'm getting a lot of steps on my Fitbit, but that's what you would find me doing.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show. You've been an amazing guest. I can't wait for this episode to air. Before we wrap up, I know you mentioned, you know, if people want the $7 access to go to Future of Real Estate Training, was it?
Training.com. And also, if you want my book, I got a website for you too. It's called Free Six Steps Book. .com. That's free, and then spell out the word six. So free S-I-X steps book.com, because the book is called Six Steps to Seven Figures. And you can get the book. All you got to do is pay the shipping costs. But the book itself, which sells on Amazon for like $18, is absolutely free.
Cool. So you can get the free book if you're listening out there. You can get the $7 all you can eat training from Rebus University. So take advantage of that. It's a great book. I've read it. I've made some of the courses. I've taken some of them, so I can certainly vouch for myself. And thanks for being on the show, Pat.
My pleasure, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hyper Fat Show. Subscribe to us if you want to make sure you get the latest and greatest Hyper Fat Shows. And remember, we love reviews. Reviews help us bring better and better guests, improve our shows, and give us the good, the bad, and the ugly. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.